Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
To quote the late, great Denny Green, they are who we thought they were. Now we'll see if they can keep it up. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our thanks to Kevin Pelton and Jeff Darlington for joining us in the last hour. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake here with you guys. And Janae, it feels like everything in the NBA universe kind of corrected itself a bit last night, right? The Milwaukee Bucks got to win. The Lakers got to win. Both one seeds looked like themselves a little more. So is this a sigh of relief moment for everybody involved in there?
It is. You know, you said the NBA universe. It's kind of like the Marvel universe. There's somebody that's going to be out there trying to play Thor with all the suit. Okay, I keep segueing, but I haven't watched all of the Marvel movies.
Oh,
like,
no. Like,
I haven't
seen
Infinity Wars. It's on my list. The Marvel Challenge. Like, I got to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then that's where I sort of, like,
That's it? So, like, when you say, like, you haven't gotten to Infinity Wars, you mean, like, you haven't got to either one of them?
I haven't gotten to either one. Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm gonna take a deep breath and
Shannon,
compose
are you
myself.
Mad at me? Producer Shannon just, like, threw his hands up.
Everyone is thrown right now here, Janae. Like, Janae, you don't understand, like, I had maybe 3 hours as a window when the draft was in Nashville last year when the second part of the Avengers Infinity Wars came out, and I went to make sure I was seeing that movie before any spoilers kicked in. I was exhausted, tears everywhere in that one. Like, this matters a lot to a lot of people, so we got to remedy this quick.
I've really made a commitment to finish that. Now, I've spent the last few weeks getting ready for this show. You know me as an NBA gal. I'm falling in love with football. I love baseball as well, so I'm trying to keep my priorities right, but it's the weekend, so once the work week is done on the weekend, I will tell you I might pick up Marvel Challenge again, but I'm really stuck on 90 Day Fiancé, but, you know, at least the love relationship within the Lakers is back. The duo is back. That relationship is clear. Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. LeBron James actually was able to only have 10 points, and they still played well. AD is a beast. I said it a couple days ago. Everyone knows he's bound to explode. We even talked about, you know, you poke the bear and bam, that's what you get. If he plays at that level consistently, and I'm saying four times within a series, the Lakers can win it all with shooting. But Brian Windhorst made a really good point early in the show. Like, you either need the supporting cast, AD, LeBron. You need two out of those three. Sort of like the question they posed us when we were going to college, you know. What is it? Social life, sports.
Yep.
What was it? Sports, social life. What was the third one?
Probably academics.
Academics. Yeah, school. Sports, social life, or school. Pick three. You can only have three. So I picked sports and school, and that's why I'm you know, still a nerd. I think you picked the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is a show full of big-time nerds on this one, although some of us maybe more than others, which makes it all too perfect that both of us somehow forgot school and the three things that you were supposed to get.
We've been long removed.
And being
We've
a college athlete. It's been a while. Notre Dame, Stanford, you can't take back our degrees now.
Yeah, that's fact. That's a fact. Even though I bet you both of our parents are still like, masters, when are you going to get your masters?
Oh, yeah. No, that's, I was going to say, that is always how it goes in this situation here. And I like how you tried to segue out of this. I'm going to try and make an analogy now that I hope you can still understand with your limited admitted knowledge of the Marvel Universe here. I said, when you look at LeBron, only 10 points last night, not an output that we would say is dominant by his standards, but it didn't need to be because they were up so big. Anthony Davis, huge night. I would say, relative to the Marvel Universe, LeBron James is the Captain America of this outfit right now. He's the seasoned one. He's the name you know in this. He's done so much great things, but he can be content to coordinate, to put others in the right position to succeed and ultimately step in when he has to. Anthony Davis is the Hulk. When he comes crashing in, you know this thing is over. It's a wrap. And so the question becomes, going forward, can we expect that all the time? Because the Hulk is at times inconsistent with all these things. And Jay Williams, who you mentioned before, co-host of Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin, was talking about that this morning, how different the Lakers are when you get the Hulk version of Anthony Davis.
When AD is an alpha, he is the best big there is on the planet. When he's a beta, he'll still give you 28 and 11, but the body language is different.
Mm.
The attack mentality is different. It seems like, oh, I'm trying to pick my spots. I'm trying to get in where I fit in. Last night when he had 31 and 11, and he was a plus 32 as opposed to the other night when he was a minus 20, the body language is different. The energy was different. You know, you saw a guy that was grabbing rebounds, that was blocking shots off pick and rolls. And, you know, Keyshawn alluded to it, playing the five, trailing. Like, he has the quick feet to attack Dame and has the length to say, hey, let me funnel you to the basket blocking Dame's shot. When he's an alpha, they are one of the best teams in the league, if not the best. When he's a beta, they're a decent team.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agbumike. And you brought that up earlier, Chinay, that it's not always just about the shot making and everything else. It was Anthony Davis attacking the boards in a very real way.
Yeah, I think a lot of times as athletes, especially in this technology culture, we fall in love with, like, the sexy move, right? Like, you want to make the sexy move that gets on social media. You want to make that big-time play. And one thing I've learned, not just on the court, but also here, you know, when we're doing our jobs every day, perfection is overrated. Like, we strive towards perfection, but it's really where you're determined by is how you handle mistakes, like mistakes on the fly. And we know that in game one, this was not who we knew Anthony Davis to be. How would you handle that situation? Now you see somebody that has unleashed the beast. And he's absolutely correct in Jay Will saying that the body language was different. He was throwing his body at the rim relentlessly, trying to get a hand on each one of those balls. One of those, you know, basketballs. Each one...
Oh my God! We did it again!
Oh no!
We did it again!
We need a buzzer sound for something like that.
We need someone to help. We need someone to come get us right now. It is two Friday still around here.
It's still Friday. You know how we turn up. So one of the things I learned, you know, while being a pupil of many basketball coaches, is that great posts try to reach and touch as many basketballs as possible on both ends of the rim, and that's what he was doing. He was extending using his 7'6" wingspan, trying to get all the defensive boards. I think he had 8. And then offensively, he was trying to touch every ball. And once you touch every ball, you start getting that feel back, and it really starts reflecting in your game. So AD went beast mode. Lakers made shots. It's a tall task when you go up against a Lakers team where you have two stars and people making shots.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is you mentioned that two or three going forward, what you can expect as long as it's some grab bag, some combination of those two, they should be good in all this one now. And that's what we have to look forward to this weekend. The weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more in this one. And previewing the weekend, Damian Lillard, we mentioned, had that dislocated finger last night. We saw him go off the court, I believe, around the third quarter in that game. But he talked after about going forward with that injury.
I mean, it's just sore, you know, a little bit tender just to the touch and dislocated it. So, you know, it's just sore, a little bit swollen and uncomfortable. What do you mean?
As far as playing.
Oh, I'm playing.
Emphatically, he is playing on this one, Chinay. Something you got a little bit of experience with that you were showing us during the break.
Yeah, knowing Damian Lillard personally, just through, you know, our connection through Team Adidas and just being hoopers, I knew he was going to play. Like, he is just so focused, even though that injury is something that could bother you while you're playing basketball. And yes, I've had a finger dislocated before. This takes us way back to when I was a freshman in high school playing alongside my big sister, NECA. We were in the regional finals, so the game that advances to state. And the first possession of the game, I'm a freshman, so excited. We get the tip. We lost the tip. We're on defense. And I get the first rebound of the game. And your girl's trying to show out as a freshman, like, watch out for me. I snatch that rebound, and I, like, try to do one of those, you know, like, bring the ball down. And guess what? I brought it on my finger, and it crunched. My entire pinky finger crunched. My pinky was half in size. So imagine your fingers scrunching down to being half in size. And I looked down and I stared at my finger and I was like, oh. And I remember everyone in the gym was like, hey, my teammates were like, Chinay, give us the ball. We got to go. You got the rebound. And I was looking down, they're like, Chinay. And the only voice I heard was NECA because I'm used to getting screamed by NECA. Like, Chinay. I was like, oh, shoot. Passed it to her. They started going playing. I run to the sidelines. Shout out to Doc out there at Cypher High School, one of the legendary athletic trainers. Doc was like, hey, Chinay, look this way. I looked, and he pulled it out, stretched it out, finger went back, and I went down and played the next possession. This was my left hand, my offhand, very similar to Dame. Played the rest of the game. They taped it up. Now, I have no problems with that pinky finger, and it was uncomfortable to catch. It was uncomfortable sometimes when I, like, tried to push it out of my left hand, but it's totally playable when you have a dislocated finger, depending on the severity, but more likely than not, the severity is never that bad. But To this day, your girl's got a chubby pinky. Your girl's got a chubby pinky. So, like, if you look at my two pinkies, I'm going to bring them up to the camera. Shout out to everyone watching on ESPN News and on the ESPN app.
I can say, anyone in the podcast or radio pinky. Audience right now, Chiney's got a chubby pinky.
I have a pinky that's way chubby.
Got a way chubby pinky. Also, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does anytime someone tell a story about a finger injury, you're required to wag your hand in phantom pain? Because three of us in the studio just did that as Chiney was telling that story.
Can you imagine your pinky shrinking in like size by half? Like it literally crunched. Like it looked like my finger got cut in half. Like it crunched.
I don't know if mine can get much shorter. I have these sausage fingers. It's a bit of a difficult time snapping the football back in the day on that one. So Chiney was able to battle through that. We believe Damian Lillard's going to be able to do the same coming up this weekend now. But Dame, we talk about Dame. They're an 8 seed, but we know they get the top billing and all this. There are plenty of people and plenty of teams still left in this playoffs that are constantly crying out and saying, we're not talking enough about this team. So coming up next, we're going to get to our top four list of teams that nobody's talking about in this whole deal. That's coming up next. It's Chiney Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney Angola Jr., the podcast.
Oh, it's too damn Friday in here. It is. It's just like we're leaking Friday everywhere I look.
Shout out to DJ Clifford.
Oh. Cliff, you were doing such a good job on the ones and twos today. My mom took to Twitter and was like, Cliff is in his bag right now.
Man, shout out to Indy, mom, man. Always showing love.
Always, man. It's Chiney Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
And soon we're going to get, you know, her information that she dropped from last show that, you know, as we go to break. So stay tuned for that.
That is so true. Producer mom always coming through with the question we needed answered from yesterday. And my God, it is worse than I could have ever expected on all this one. But we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. And it's time right now for something around here. We're calling 444. It's our top four. It's not at 4 o'clock. We're not doing it at 444. I struggle to think why we landed on this name to begin with, but 444 is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way that you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. And Chiney, for our list today, we thought we would do the top four teams no one's talking about because it feels like fan bases always like to remind us when we're not talking about their team. So do you have your list ready? Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. This is for everyone that might have felt neglected in the sports world. Let's get it.
It is. Let's get it right after this.
A-list with no limits.
In the kitchen cooking. Good Lord.
The heat.
As long as it stops at 4.
The heat is on the stove.
444.
For real, though.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
When do I say those things?
I was just thinking the same thing. Like, I forget saying half this stuff.
Wait, are they taping us during break?
They must be, man. We got snitches around here.
I know, right? They get stitches. All right, hit me, Cliff.
Number 4.
Gotta show love to the WNBA, the Los Angeles Sparks. I'm totally biased here. Won 5 games in a row. They have a big 4 at 4, right? And Neko Gwemeke, Chelsea Gray, Candace Parker, and Simone Augustus. Fun fact for those who don't know, NECA is the WNBPA president and was instrumental in the entire process throughout sports and returning sports. Candace Parker working 2 jobs at the same time, staying up till 1 a.m. on the Turner broadcast while also having her daughter Layla in the bubble. So my number 4, not at 4, are the WNBA teams pretty much, but I had to start first with the Los Angeles Sparks, my squad.
Damn.
Number 3.
This is for all of you. I don't know why I'm singing, but I just feel like it's better because times are tough if you're a New York Knicks fan. I mean, like, the longest time, this team has been in agony in forever. So we all were sort of quiet, just hoping that let's not say anything to jinx the idea that they could get a top pick. Not number 1 or 2, like 3, like maybe even in the top 5. The Knicks got the 8th pick in the draft lottery. I want to go to producer Shannon just so he can tell me how he really feels.
I don't know if he can actually talk.
Oh, he can't hear. Yeah, he can't really tell. Oh, no, I think he's speechless.
No, I can hear you.
Oh, God.
I can hear you. No, I'm here. I'm just in total disbelief. I thought we had a good run here the first 4 days of the show. We're coming in hot here on the 5th day, first week, Chiney Angola Jr. And you do me like that, Chiney. Appreciate it.
That was cold-blooded.
We're just talking about teams that you don't talk about, and we'll continue. This team will continue to be on the list, unfortunately.
Let's see who's up next.
Cliff.
Number 2. number two.
We're all figuring this out.
You had a good run, Cliff, but it's all good. I'm going to go to PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, with Neymar, Kylian Mbappe. Finally in the Champions League final. They've never won it. Sunday, it goes down versus Bayern Munich. So I'm going to show, a lot of people say, ESPN, you guys don't talk about football enough. And I say football because back home, we call it football, you know, international football, but it's soccer. So PSG is a team that deserves some love, and we'll see if they'll be able to win it all in the Champions League.
That's number two.
Number one.
By the way, you pronouncing the name like that, I have always just, the boorish American, called him Paris Saint-Germain. So I don't know if that puts you in Mike Ryan category from the Levitard show, but that was well done.
I mean, I just tried Paris Saint-Germain. But my number one and cannot be outdone goes to the Dodgers. Best record in baseball, okay. Number one in runs scored, number one in runs differential. And, you know, this is a take that I've sort of come to realize. They might have the best stadium food in L.A. Like, when I went to, that was my first MLB game, and I went to Dodger Stadium, and I was like, whoa, this food is fire.
Shout out to
that I was staying there more than I was watching.
Shout out to Micheladas, by the way. Like, that was one that single-handedly got me on that train of tomato-based alcoholic beverages. So,
oh, snap. I didn't know that was a thing. Shout out to Lon Rosen, my fairy godfather out there. And, yeah, so the Dodgers, their stadium food won me over, and I feel like we should recognize. We didn't talk about them on the show. Didn't cover too much baseball, but we got to shout out the Dodgers for the best record.
I have a feeling we'll be talking about them a lot more coming up soon, considering they are prime for another great postseason run. All right. We got your 444 list in here. We're going to go and do mine right off the top here next, because I appreciate you went relevant. You went teams that we are definitely not giving enough credit in all this one. And I probably made a complete fool of myself. So we will get to that next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. It is Chinay Agbunbike. It is Mike Golic Jr. And we were just doing our 444 lists, our top four, not at 4 o'clock, not at 444. I don't really understand the name at all, but it's a list of four things. It's going to change all the time. This week we were doing list. Chinay, you gave us our list. Why don't you run back for people? We did the top four teams that nobody is talking about, because everyone always thinks that nobody is talking about their team. So who did you give us for your top four at four real quick?
At four, we got the Los Angeles Sparks. Got to shout out to my home squad. Three, we've got the New York Knicks, because they're the New York Knicks with the eighth pick. Two, we've got PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, going up in the Champions League final. And then one, we've got the Dodgers, who have the best record in baseball. Who is on your four at four list, or four for four? I feel like we should, you know, get food for this too. But
we probably should get. Yeah, I would say four by. It feels right that there would be a meal served in all this one right now.
Spicy nuggets, at least.
Cliff, number four.
Number four.
Speaking of spicy nuggets, the Denver Nuggets, which this seems super poorly timed as they got thoroughly blasted by the Utah Jazz today. But that being said, Denver feels like that team that is perennially not talked about. They spent most of last year being like either the one or the two seed in the Western Conference, and we just all kind of continue to look past them, and so I feel like Denver always gets that, and they will get some much-deserved love here on this list. I don't know how much they will enjoy that, but they will enjoy being next to their counterpart at number three.
Number three.
The Miami Heat, like the team that actually no one wants to talk about in the Eastern Conference except for everyone on the Dan Le Batard show and all this one. So feel like they'll give them their just due here. Jimmy Butler has gone down there and done exactly what no one was going to give him the credit for being able to do in a lot of this one, creating a team that is a legitimate buck beater potentially in the Eastern Conference. All right, number two.
Number two.
It wouldn't be a list of a team no one is talking about nearly enough, even though this year people are talking about them a little more than Bills Mafia, the Buffalo Bills, in the world of the NFL. Chinay, I feel like this is just a team because it has been a while. You know, we know they ended their postseason drought not too long ago, a couple of years ago now, but Josh Allen and company, a lot more expectations this year. And then, number one.
Number one.
You can't have a conversation. I don't care if this is a team thing. You can make it the team if you want to. You cannot have a conversation about people not getting talked about without not talking about Mike Trout. He is the number one ESPN radio sports talk greatest hits answer for the player no one's talking enough about until we hit July. And then we're all like, you guys remember Mike Trout is really, really great. And we don't talk about him enough. And then we talk about not talking about him enough so that we end up talking about him a lot. It's a weird cycle we go through every year, Janae.
Look, when you get paid that amount of money, he's good. He's good regardless. When you're a top player, the top player, you're good. So whether we talk about you or not, like, that sort of helps because then you can fly under the radar. So
I don't
think, was a good one.
I can say I don't think he cares one bit. You're right. Yeah. When you are that paid, you can fade me into darkness. I will not care. Just make sure that check hits every Tuesday. So
facts.
So there we
go. That was a good list. That was a good list.
I felt
was respectful.
Good about that one. That was
respectful.
It was our first go at it, right?
Yeah, that was respectful. I liked it.
Feeling pretty good about that. Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinne Igwumike. Yes, Shannon, you acting like I'm weird for saying buck beater on this one. Do I have to emphasize that a little bit more?
I'm sort of mad because we can talk about the Bucks. We can say buck beater when it comes to the Miami Heat, but we can't play my song. It's okay. I won't take it personal,
ooh,
Clifford. It's all
right. Wow.
All right.
We'll see if Cliff will keep that same energy.
Honestly, I don't think we're allowed to play it on the airwaves. I don't know.
That's a problem we're running into more and more. I feel like this says more about your and I's musical taste than it does about anyone else in this situation.
You know, I think the thing is we come straight from locker rooms. That's our strength here. You know, Chinne Igwumike, Michael Jr., we both are straight from locker rooms, college football, professional level aspirations, professional level in the WNBA. I mean, that's just what we grew up on to get us ready to go. And we haven't even talked about, I don't think we talked about our intro song, ever.
No, we didn't talk about our intro song. Shout out to Killer Mike LP. What the? That is not Run the Jewels, Cliff. That is Keyshawn Johnson.
There's an issue that we had not talked about our intro song because we teased it and teased it on, you know, what was it, First Take Your Take. And you never even, you know, it's all right. Some songs need love, too.
I had to talk about it. Mean Demeanor by Run the Jewels, always a winner in my book. But, Janae, you admitted that you hadn't even heard the song when I brought it up, and you know Killer Mike from that group, so I was a little bit caught off guard.
I don't recall. When did I ever admit that? I've heard the song, you know, for a couple weeks now, so I don't remember this happening. What are you talking about? I've listened to it all day, every day, so far when I've come to work, so I'm confused.
We're still going to count on you to leverage that relationship into getting Killer Mike on the show.
You're right. I can do that. I got you.
There we go. If that happens, bygones will be bygones on one right now.
Good.
But, Janae, we do. One thing we actually haven't gotten to today that I really want to ask you the question on is, what do we do with the Clippers? Because both the Lakers and the Bucks were able to right the ship in a big way. It looked like the teams that we expected there. The Clippers are tied 1-1 in this series, but it feels like Dallas has been the better team in both games were it not for a Kristaps Porzingis ejection. So what do we make of what we've seen from the other LA team so far?
Okay, do you want me to give you like my straight-up answer first before I get to the shenanigans?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, straight up, obviously Luka Doncic is super talented. I found out this morning when I was getting ready for my SportsCenter take that Luka Doncic has only made in this series so far 2 mid-range field goals. Everything else has been at the rim or beyond the arc, which means he's being super smart with how he's playing the game, literally getting the highest percentage shot in the paint or doing his signature step-back three. Kristaps Porzingis, he going into game 2 said that his knee was sore, and we were all like, oh no, does that mean he won't play as well? He still had 23 points, went out there 3-for-4 from 3, I believe. Yep, 3-for-4 from 3. And so this is a team that is the number one offense in the NBA. Now, are you ready for the shenanigans?
Give it to me.
What I love about this is the craziness that happens afterward. Okay, so after the game, clearly Paul George didn't shoot well. He was 4-for-17 from the field, had 14 points, and guess what we saw in press?
Oh, no.
He had ice. Oh, he had no, like, half of a shirt on and ice on his shoulders.
Oh, no.
It was one of those things where, like, after the game, didn't have a good game. I'm going to show you I'm icing my shoulders. I have no problem with this. I just love all the shenanigans that happens. And then also on social media, I'm trying to pull it up. He was like, everyone's talking out of pocket about me. He said on his Instagram with 9 million followers, IDGAF, what anybody think about me, blank, is you thinking about me for anyway. So I don't know if that made much sense.
I am amazed you were able to get through that without using any of the curse words.
So he's literally being direct to everyone that is talking sideways. I hope I'm not included. I was just laughing at the shenanigans, and I'm here for Paul George. I think he's going to, you know, he's one of those guys that in a series can go off and that changes the entire trajectory of the series, right?
What you mentioned is so true, though, about the ice on the shoulder trick on that one. It's the same thing you see with DBs in football. As soon as you get burned on a route or a double move or something like that, you are required by defensive back law, and I will call Dominique Foxworth and make sure this is true because I believe it to be, you're required by law to grab your hamstring when you get burned. every single time and make sure.
Yeah, it's always like you airball a shot in basketball and you start like, you know, you're stretching your arm like,
He caught a piece of that. He caught a piece of that.
Yeah, I always say like there was a draft in the air, like that moved the ball one way or the other. So
indoor.
When it comes to the Clippers, I think this is going to be really fascinating because if somehow the Mavs end up winning another game, winning game three, now this is when things get real because this is a team. It's not like the Magic where despite how hard and well Nikola Vucevic is playing, you know the Bucks are going to still buck. Knock if you buck. But in this situation here, you know, when this is another talented team you're going up against. And in the playoffs, the ball, you know, you're coming up the court a little bit slower. It's going to be closer unless you're literally beating the brakes off of a team. So this is just as we talked about the Lakers having a really tough eight, like the Clippers having the Mavs is not easy as well.
I feel like that's become the matchup too, because again, for the Lakers to be able to swing it back in their favor last night showed exactly what we expected from that team. But through two games, I really have some concerns about the Los Angeles Clippers.
I have a question though. Uh-oh. I have a whole nother segue question.
What
okay,
we got
so
here?
Were you the type of player that something happened? Did you like jump up and try to act like nothing happened, or like were you the one that laid on the floor and was like, oh?
No, I did a fair amount of laying on the floor on that one. It was one of those where I just had to accept, like, the cockroach is never the position you want to be in there where you are fully looking at the sky after a hit. I'll never forget, I had my welcome to college football moment when Maurice Crum Jr., our senior captain at that time, I was coming around on a toss play there. I was getting ready to lead up on the linebacker, and he hit me square in my chest, and I had, like, the slow motion stumble back. And I slowly toppled over, and I just took that second to like sit there, reflect on my thoughts and feelings, if this was really a life I was going to be about going forward. And then I got back up, but it was a major league welcome to college football moment.
For big guys, like getting back up, are you guys like the whole roll over and then push up, or like
no,
you need a teammate?
I'm just saying, you would appreciate this in basketball. You always see it has got to be if you are over 275 pounds, your teammates need to be over there lifting you up. That's too far.
So that's even worse because you have to lay down until they come back after the play is done, especially in football where there's a lot of distance, and then they have to lift you up. So you're marinating in your misery. I get it.
Marinating in your misery. If there were ever a sentence that described most of my athletic career. So we will try and keep a very different energy, a very better positive energy going forward because we're getting you ready. It's the last segment of our Friday show here. We're going to send you off into the weekend in style, doing 100 on the highway, just like our intro song. It's Chidey and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chidey and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The only way to go out.
Uh-oh, we got to get to the point.
We're going to wait for it?
We have to.
This is how we do it.
It's Friday night. Okay, we're good. Shout out to Cliff.
The party is indeed here. And it's probably good that we're getting to the end of the line here right now because everyone, like, there's too much Friday in the room.
Yeah.
I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times on this show. It's Chidey and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Chidey Ogwumike. How are we feeling, Chidey? We've gotten through our first week. We made it through. They didn't take us off air, right?
They didn't take us off air, even though you did break the mic. We didn't drop it, but you broke it, so that's progress.
That is true. That feels like the right way to go about this. We came
right
in here. We know what we did. We did what every coach has ever told us to do is – I don't care if you make mistakes, but make them going 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. We're busting through a whole wall right now. So this was fun. 1 week down, a million to go.
Exactly. 1 week down, a lifetime from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern to go around here for us. And so we are going to do what we've done all week. We're going to keep that same energy with everyone here right now. We find things all the time that give us life going through the course of the day. We want to share them with everybody here. So, Cliff, if you don't mind, do we have time to keep that same energy right now? We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chidey and Golic Jr.
All right. We're going to keep that same energy for everybody right now. Chidey, I feel like we only right weight is to start this off with some beef, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's get to it. So I love OG beef. So keep that same energy, Mark Jackson and George Karl.
Yup.
You hate to see it, but you love to see it. In case you missed it, George Karl took personal offense to the fact that Carmelo is playing better defense now. Since this clearly is an indictment on his coaching, even though Mark Jackson said it pretty vaguely about being grateful that he's now like playing in a place where he can play defense. But on Twitter, these OGs clapped back at each other. It was so entertaining. Like, literally, George Carl went for the jugular. He really did. He went so hard. And then Mark Jackson kept it classy and hit with a God bless. This is the tweet. I heard at Mark Jackson is taking shots at my defensive coaching. Even put out there, like, the whole history with the Warriors afterward. And Mark Jackson goes back and says, wasn't thinking about you. Never lost you in the playoffs as a player or as a coach. Love the OG beef. Here for the OG beef. Even though vegans are welcome here on Today in Gold Jr. So
you say all leaders are welcome. All are welcome here on that one. But man, George Carl with the how many of my teams became dynasties right after I left?
That was crazy. Like, why did you have to go that hard?
By the way, we will find out why he had to go that hard. George Carl will be joining Freddie and Fitzsimmons tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern on ESPN.
You know he's
going
to go for like a whole hour or so.
You could, I could say that you could charge me pay per view money for that. And I would honestly check that out. Which brings me to my next point. The movie Tenet has been getting teased into oblivion. It has been getting shown previews for what feels like years now. And it was supposed to come out right before everything hit with the pandemic. It has been pushed back and prodded all the way through on this. And now we finally are getting the first round of reviews on this. BBC News said it feels like several blockbusters combined. And I'm telling you, going forward on here, I understand movie reviewers have a job, but I need you to keep the proper energy on this. We need this. I don't need you trying to deflate anybody's energy bubble going into this movie. If you told me tomorrow I had to pay a full pay-per-view price to see Tenet, I would in a heartbeat. I would do it to see it once. I would do it to see it twice. I will be there wherever I need to be, whether it's at home, in a theater. I will find a will and find a way. Because we need this right now. We have been out here starving in a content
desert
for
months. We're in quarantine, and every night is movie night in quarantine. Clearly, producer Devin is hyped for this because I saw him clapping. Why have I not seen an advertisement for this? Where have I been?
Chinee, if you haven't seen an advertisement for Tenet, you might not have been watching TV this entire time. I mean, that's
yeah, I really haven't been in the NBA bag.
That is, I would say, that is
my other job. That is my other job. But
a million different jobs in this whole thing, slowly and surely taking over the world yourself. So I get it.
Yo, we're a tag team. We do it together. We're a duo. I guess, I don't know who would I, that's the question for next week. Who would I be if I were in the Marvel family?
And you know what? You'll know, Avengers. Because for anyone who missed, Chinee is catching up on the Marvel Cinematic Universe this weekend, right?
Yes, I am. Well, I guess maybe next weekend, but well, it's all right. But this past week, though, the Trailblazers, they did suffer a loss, but somehow they stay winning. Wenyen Gabriel has been a big boost for Portland. He's a hustle player. He's an energy player. Keep that same energy. But we also heard on the broadcast, Gabriel left John Barnard, an older man, an Uber driver, a $2,500 tip. So that he wouldn't put his health at risk by driving too much during the coronavirus pandemic. Why? Because the Uber driver returned his lost wallet to his home. So keep that same energy, Wenyen Gabriel. Hopefully that will tie better in your team's vibe so that you guys can sort of bounce back from that last loss. That was a big blowout.
Listen, you got to put out the energy that you want to receive back in the universe. Have you ever left a phone or a wallet or something like that in an Uber?
Oh, yes. And I'm like calling and it's so agonizing.
It's a process. It is a hell of a process you got to go through here. All right, last one here. We had a big time question come up at the end of the show yesterday because Chinee asked me and I lied. I didn't know the answer. Do alligators poop? And so we got some help on this one. Shout out to @ndmom, own mother, Christine Golick, texted me this in the middle of our show.
Shout out to Miss Christine. Yay.
This is informational. This is like National Geographic. Shout out to Ron McGill. Alligator feces is more similar to bird feces than to mammals. Unlike mammals that usually urinate and defecate out of separate receptacles, an alligator usually eliminates both of its urine waste and excrement out through an opening called the cloacae, which is translated to the common sewer. It is urine, but it is not like mammal pee. It's instead the equivalent to the white part of bird poop. So alligator scat is usually composed of two parts, just like bird poop. And would have a whitish portion and a brownish-green portion. How much of each, the exact coloration, is determined by the diet.
Shout out to Mrs. Christine. That was awesome. That was way too informational. But now I know. Questions that need answers.
If you need answers to important questions like that, we're the show for you. Chinee Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're hopefully going to be here every Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern, unless the alligator scat talk got us kicked off.
Oh, dang. Somehow. At least we saved it for the last minute.
We did. We saved it for the last minute. We'll save all the best for you guys next week if we're back. Spain and Fitz is next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.